But I would be very shocked if this isn't a movie that's like staple in your life of having seen it, whether it was, I don't know, in like high school or just on TV or with family members or just that your parents said, hey, this is on a list of like shit you just have to watch. I want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Oop, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the SideQuest Podcast. We got a very special episode for you today. It's Friday. Every Friday, we are releasing new episodes, so come check us out on all streaming platforms. But Justin is not here tonight, unfortunately, so filling in his shoes is our good friend and cousin Dan. Dan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
What are we sipping on over there? Tell the audience.
We got a little old-fashioned going on tonight with Elijah Craig whiskey.
Wow.
Nice bourbon, and you know, just enjoying the evening.
Wow. Yeah. And Jeff, I mean, we just came off of a nice little fun weekend night.
Right now is basically what I'm doing.
It was a fun little whiskey tasting we had. So we posted some pictures online, and Jeff hosted a whiskey tasting. Dan was present. So it was a good time. I feel like we actually approached this one like adults, like we tasted it. And we talked about it a little bit. And then, you know what? We poured some out. We cleaned it with water. Like, it took a while.
Like an hour and a half for us to get through all of them. Well, I mean, how many whiskeys did we have?
Oh, we had nine total.
Yeah. So, you know, by the end of it, I enjoyed whiskey.
I think everyone was enjoying whiskey.
Right? Yeah.
If you liked whiskey or not.
It made me kind of forget about those, the not so great ones. There was definitely some good ones. I like the smoky ones or the bacon one, but some of them hit a little bit harsh. Like my throat, ooh boy, it'll sting.
Ooh
those
throat.
Moves. But besides whiskey, Dan, I'm glad you're sipping on something. I want to talk a little bit about some of our games we like to play. So let's get that quest going. First main quest of the day. The latest game that we've been playing, and Jeff played very little of, so he'll have some thoughts, but Lost Ark, the new MMORPG, basically Diablo 2 style. I don't even know, what's that style called, Dan? Is there a style to it?
It's an isometric 2D ARPG MMO.
Damn!
That's the official title of Lost Ark.
All right. Well, Lost Ark just came out in the US and in Europe. It's been over in Korea for, I think, about
3 years.
Three years. So, Dan, why don't you kind of give us your first thoughts? We started playing, and I feel like you got hooked pretty quick.
Yeah, so I thought I would get hooked. It's the style of game we played, you know, the Diablos, we played Path of Exile, we played the Torchlight series. And so it's the similar notion, except with the whole community. Now, I haven't done the end game yet. I just got to the end game yesterday, so I haven't experienced any of that or the grind associated. But as far as the leveling, the dungeons, the questing, all of that is pretty good so far. I'm definitely enjoying it.
Awesome, awesome. And Jeff, for maybe the Claudias of the world, you know, what's the purpose of a game like this? Like, what's the goal?
Well, it differs between the MMOs. It depends on which one. I mean, I'm pretty sure for Lost Ark, it's just getting the highest level gear to do the highest level content. I'm not really sure. ARPGs sometimes do speed runs opposed to MMOs, which do more boss and raid type things. But I know Lost Ark has some of that in it. But I believe Lost Ark's main thing is just getting as high level gear as humanly possible.
Yeah. Okay. Good breakdown. Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. You just follow the storyline, you build up your character, you pick a class that most excites you, and hopefully, you know, throughout the duration of it, you still like your class by the end of it. Dan, I know one of your probably most recent complaints is that, I wish I maybe picked more of a DPS-style character, somebody that puts out a lot of damage, because there's some times where this game forces you to play single-player without, you know, even if you're in a party of four or five, it forces you to play single player against some of the big bosses, and that could be a little bit challenging.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I picked Paladin because I like the support classes, but it's not a DPS class. And as you said, it doesn't scale for the healer or support class. And so the single player content can take me 4 or 5 times as long. And even harvesting nodes in the open world, takes a lot longer because killing the mobs around the resource is just a pain. But
Yeah.
that's part of the deal when you pick a support class sometimes.
Yeah, and for those out there that haven't really looked into Lost Ark, I mean, it's a free game. It's free to play, so that's really the, I think, driving factor for somebody like me, who I do enjoy these games, but that always helps, is that, shit, this game's free, so you know what? If I pick it up and play it for a few days or a week and I don't like it, I could just, uninstall it, no harm, no foul, and I think it's one of those games that I was pretty much hooked from the beginning as well. I didn't know what to expect. It is a very, very big game. Like, there's lots of just crafting and gear, and I mean, you could spend 8 hours by just harvesting minerals and leveling up your tools to like go get copper and iron or cut down trees or go fucking fishing. So that's just like one element to it, but there's like faceting and runes and relics and trading in maps for better maps, and you can go sail on a boat to islands just to gather more material. Like, it is a it's this game's not fucking around. Like, people are gonna be hooked on this for a while. I feel like it's I don't know, is there another game that compares to this one in this line of game that you define, Dan?
The closest one I would say is probably Path of Exile. It's not a true MMO, but if you're a fan of the 2D isometric, otherwise you're just gonna fall into the realm of normal MMOs such as Final Fantasy, Guild Wars 2, World of Warcraft, Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
This is like, I mean, Diablo is the other game similar to this, but this is the only difference is this is an MMO, meaning it's a bunch of people running around. It has a lot of systems. It has a lot of systems in its thing, but then you could say other games have more systems in what they do. I think right now Final Fantasy has probably the most in-depth crafting system than any of the MMOs, but then I know that Lost Ark has more of an in-depth time trial run where you kind of just run through these dungeons as quickly as possible, like single-handedly, just destroying as much as humanly possible. That is not something Final Fantasy does. So they all kind of have a little bit more of this, but then a little less of that.
Yeah.
But the core thing of getting gear, crafting shit, looking cool, and beating the shit out of bad guys is, and doing it as a team is kind of the overall thing of what an MMO is. It's meant to be played with other people.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be, it's not like Dark Souls where you're doing these horrible, huge, difficult encounters like by yourself. That's
Right.
the whole thing. You can in these games, you can do that if you think your gear is high enough and your skill. I know in Final Fantasy and WoW, there's a lot of high-end Twitch streamers that will purposely go in and try to exploit a class and try to kill a raid boss single-handedly, which sometimes can take them hours. Those are pretty interesting to watch, at least in the highlights of it. So.
Yeah. And Jeff, I know you kind of dipped your toe in and backed away because of how big this game was, because you're invested in a couple other games. So this
Not
was
because how big it is. It's in
it's
relation to it to Final Fantasy, it's nowhere near as big.
Yeah, but like you weren't ready to pick this
Even
game up
Warcraft.
and jump in there because
So it's not the size of the game, it's the grind. And most of so I'm on a Discord channel where we all just play MMOs and stuff. I think Dan's on one too for his Guild Wars, but most of my guild all tried Lost Ark, and within 3 days, everyone's like, fuck this, we're not doing another grind fest. Because Lost Ark is, in the end game, is a very grind, time-consuming game. Like, you need to dedicate most of your time to play this. So if you want to play other games, if you're excited for like Elden Ring coming out or Horizon or anything like that, and you want to stay ahead of the curve in Lost Ark, then you have to just play Lost Ark.
Right.
So it's not the size of the game, it's the grind of the game.
Gotcha.
It's not as grindy as Black Desert, but I'd say out of all the MMOs right now, it's probably the second most grindy game.
Yeah, and
surprisingly, WoW getting pretty bad with all the fucking stupid system WoW has.
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head, too. It's like, if you want to stay ahead of the curve, if you want to be doing the latest endgame content, it is going to be a massive grind. But what I'm hoping is, if you're not in that boat, can you still do the content and will there be enough players, you know, 1 month, 3 months?
Yeah, no one will know for a couple months. That's the thing with it. It's
right.
You know, same with New World. When that came out, it was Steam's top thing, and now it's dropped below, like, it's so bad. So I know there's been a decrease in Lost Ark, but obviously that's just because the hype's over. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if people stick to it or if it's just going to be another Black Desert Korean MMO.
Right.
That just turns into spend all your time or just it's built. I mean, in Korea, it's built more for the whales, which
yep.
People that just spend shit tons of money to basically beat the game and get all the super craft stuff, which I do like about MMOs like Guild Wars and Warcraft and Final Fantasy or Elder Scrolls is there is no play to win. I think Lost Ark has already some stuff in there for play to win, and I worry that they're just going to add more once people see this grind, but then they're like, oh, I like the combat, but I don't have time for the grind. Oh, here's money, and then I don't have to do the grind.
Yeah, get.
So I'm just, yeah, it's too early to tell. I mean, hopefully it doesn't. Looks like a cool area. I don't have time for this and Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And to play other games. And I'd like to, you know, Eric, I know you're into, you kind of tipped your toes in Guild Wars.
Yeah.
And there's an expansion coming out this Friday.
Right.
Monday. So all
three of us are.
Comes out Monday.
To step into, or Monday, or I thought yeah. It was Friday.
Monday the 28th.
I keep thinking of Elden Ring because I'm so excited for Elden Ring. That.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see where I'm at because I feel like if I put this game down for, let's say, a week or two, then my gaming ADD is just going to, like, go elsewhere, right? It's going to be hard to go back and pick it up. Like, Dan, I was playing Guild Wars for all of, like, what, 8 months the first go-around, and then I sat it down for 3 years before picking it up again, and it's fun. Like, I did enjoy it the second time around, and I did enjoy playing it, and I'm going to enjoy the new End of Dragons expansion. Can't wait till that comes out Monday. Guild Wars
does a much better job of, if you don't log in for that week, you don't feel like you missed out on something, where WoW has kind of turned into that. I know definitely Lost Ark is like that. I think Final Fantasy really found its spot where its best quality is. If you don't log on for a week, you're not behind in anything, really. I mean, you miss some, like, daily roulettes and stuff but you can go and pick up those poetics doing sightseeing if you wanted to. So I think Guild Wars has also done pretty well where if you missed a week or whatever, it's fine. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
I Dan would have to speak more to that.
No, it definitely, it's much more casual friendly, but I think Eric brings up a good point about gamer ADD. I don't think it's ADD. It's play what you like. You know, you shouldn't be forced to play a game every day. And that's what you were saying, Jeff. Like, you don't want to be forced to play Lost Ark every single day.
Right.
Yeah, and it's hard right now with so many of these other great games coming out. Like, I do want to play an MMO, but I also just don't have, I want to play these other games, and you only have so much time in the day. So it's stick to this one game or play this one game that's an MMO that's more casual friendly, and then I can go, you know, try out the Cyberpunk with the new update or give Elden Ring a try and still stick around in Final Fantasy and do my daily stuff, but, you know, I won't feel behind. So I think that's, yeah, and like you said, just play what you like. Too bad there's no MMO, what is it, Rocket League for Eric.
That'd be amazing.
Eric, I think you're more like Dave where you just like mindless games where you don't have to think and there's no strategy really involved. It's just point forward, shoot, and then it'll last you for 20, 30 minutes, and then you're done. Where Dan and I play games where it's, you know, the character you're playing is almost an extension of yourself. So, and you want to get the gear, you want to strategize with people, and but it's, you know, I couldn't play, I can't play like Halo or Rocket League because they're just too boring for me. But some people like that, and you know, to play like Final Fantasy is like, well, holy shit, that's just, it's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally get it. You know, you brought up Elden Ring, and I think the folks out there, it just came out today, 25th. So, Jeff, why don't you give a breakdown of what the Elden Ring's about?
Yes, I'm pretty, I don't know, excited about this. I've never played any of the Souls games, but, and that's just because there wasn't really a multiplayer factor if you wanted. Elden Ring has that. So it's, I don't know, it's one of the guys, it's the company that does the Souls games.
From Software.
Yeah, well, and
they also did the Bloodborne, and they did the Sekiro.
Yeah, the Sekiro, or yeah, whatever. Sekiro, the Japanese one. And those games, for anyone that doesn't know them, their, you know, claim to fame is extreme difficulty. So you die a lot, it is unforgiving, and it's difficult. It's very difficult. And you're alone, and you're by yourself, and you really have to learn the mechanics of each boss, and you have to, like, really learn how to play your character and what type of character you want to play. So Elden Ring is that, but it's trying to, it's bringing it into an open world setting, and it's bringing in more RPG elements, and it's trying to bring in more casual people. Because I think the biggest thing with the Souls game or Bloodborne, all look super awesome. If you're not a hardcore, like you don't want this horrible difficulty, you don't buy it. And that's what's always turned me off by it. I'd love to play it. I'd love to give him my money and learn the lore and all that. But I just don't want to spend all my time trying to beat this spider lady that...
I disagree.
I mean, it's bad.
I disagree because it. You might say it's difficult, but it's patience. You know, you need to take time to learn the enemy's attack. You need to take time to learn when you can and when you can't.
Like the first, yeah, Dark Souls. I know in the Sakara, the Japanese one, it was overly difficult, and there was Reddit posts of some bosses were just stupid cheap for no reason, just to add difficulty into it. And I think they kind of steered off with that one, because I think that's one of the hardest of all of them. But yeah, I get it. It's patience. It's trying to figure it out. But with Elden Ring, I think the reason that it's a little bit more casual is you can actually leave the boss if it's getting too overwhelming, and you can come back, or you could go grind out something else and come back a little powerful. But if you want to just really challenge yourself, you can go right to the end boss. I think the Breath of the Wild, the Zelda game, let you do that. You could go right to Ganon if you wanted. It'd be extremely difficult, but some people like that. So I think Elden Ring is trying to cater to everyone, which that's what makes me excited about it. And also that there is a multiplayer factor to it. So you can, like Eric, if you and Dan were to get it and you're having trouble with the boss, you can be like, hey, can you guys log in and let's all try to kill it together? And I right. love, and again, that's that MMO stuff coming in me of, I love doing raids and dungeon bosses and trials because we're doing it together as a team. There's just something more satisfying that way. I don't know.
And isn't
how we use the game.
Isn't Elden Ring, if I recall from reading, isn't it some made up of George R.R. Martin's? Like, did he build the
setting? He's one of the writers, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he helped write the game.
So he's been dicking around. I'm not a, you know, I don't read much. I know you guys have read Game of Thrones, the books, but like, what the fuck is this man doing? Is he ever going to pump out the next book? Sorry to side quest really quick. Side rant, no. I should say. What the fuck, no. man? And he's just going to make a buttload of money from this, isn't he? And just never finish the book.
He won't finish Game of Thrones. Or he won't finish A Song of Ice and Fire.
God, what a fucking asshole. But when I did look up Elden Ring, I'm seeing a lot of reviews. All come back 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10. Essential. Like, people are drooling over this game, and is it worth it? I mean...
It is. It is. And if you look at what From Software has produced, Dark Souls 1, 2, 3, Bloodborne, Sekiro, they are all 9 and 10 out of 10s. It's not like this is a one-off game. This is what that company design. This is what this company does. They produce one game, and it's incredible.
Damn. And this has been like years and years in the making, too. It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, it was supposed to come out a year ago, but got COVID and all that. You know, most games got pushed. But yeah, they focus on one game, and that's what they do. I think Horizon is the same. They did Horizon Zero Dawn, and now the sequel that just came out is also getting 9s and 10s. I think Aloy is the main character in that. Is on Time Magazine next month.
Oh, jeez. Because
a powerful female character in gaming and stuff. Even though Samus should have been that back in the 80s, but I won't get into Metroid. But yeah, so Horizon's also like just... And I think that's another company. That's all they did. And that's what CD Projekt Red did until they did Cyberpunk. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we've been doing The Witcher and we've been kicking ass. Let's try to grow and get bigger. And then look what happened.
Yeah. I mean, from everything I've seen and read about Elden Ring, it just seems like it's going to be a very, very big game. So I guess that's my hesitation is like, fuck, how much time am I going to invest in this?
I don't think the game is, I don't think it's going to be like a 200 hour thing like Skyrim. It is an open world, but I think it's just going to be like any other open world. And I don't think the world is that big compared to most open world games.
No.
I think the time consumed comes into, do you want to learn the boss and kill the boss? Or are you just going to go right into matchmaker mode and just cheese the boss?
Right.
Yeah, I know from the first, like I played the first two Dark Souls and I've watched the other ones and they're mostly around 20 hours. Like if you just play the game straight and then the time consumption comes in, like there's optional bosses, there's optional collections to do, you know, people replay it on different classes because playing a caster versus swordsman, they're completely different play styles. And so that's where the grind, right, in quotes, kind of comes in, is people just like to replay the game.
Yeah, so Elden Scroll, it's saying under 30 hours. So it's not a very big game. It's big. It just depends on what you do. Yeah, main story will take around 30 hours to complete.
I mean, visually, it looks amazing. I don't think we can deny that. It looks like a really crisp, clean game.
Yeah, it's going to be it's gonna be the first game from this company I've ever bought. I've always wanted to play the Souls games. I don't know why I always never got around to it. But this is a new story. It has nothing to do with the original Souls games or any of that lore. This is a whole new thing. And I just love how there's more ways of doing this. So it'll capture more of a more casual crowd or more people who would want to play it but never played these. So I don't know. It should be cool. I'm looking forward to it.
And I'm going to...
Are you guys getting it?
I'm probably going to be that Twitch, watching on Twitch for the first week or so to see. That's me.
I have to see if my PC can run it because my laptop crapped out recently. So I'm stuck on an old desktop, and I'm not sure if I have the specs on this thing.
Just make it all just lowest settings possible. Everybody's just fucking cubes.
Yeah, that's why I buy the game.
So I got to put you guys on a quick side quest. The first thing that comes to mind, because you guys are the big MMO guys, what would your perfect MMO game look like? Like what, I don't know if it was like style or classes or... You know, take all the favorite things you like about different MMOs that you played. Like, if you guys were to create a quick game in 5 minutes, like you were doing that elevator pitch for what your favorite type of MMO would be if you were in charge. Dan, what would your MMO look like if you built it from scratch and made it your own? Like, your perfect MMO game?
It's an extremely difficult question.
the hardest question I've ever asked.
I mean, do you want me to start? Because I kind of already have an idea. And
all right, go for it, Jeff. Yeah. Dan, you think about it for a little bit.
So there's a few things, and only if you play MMOs you're going to know anything about this. So the first would be everything is account-wide on one character. I would take Final Fantasy, Warcraft, and Guild Wars and take the best things of all of them and put them into one game. Because they all do things really, really fucking well. And then they all do things that are really fucking terrible. Why they haven't figured out the perfect formula, I have no idea. In Final Fantasy, you get one character and you can change specs whenever you want. That's probably the best thing about it. In WoW and Guild Wars, you have to make all new characters in order to play a different class. You just don't get it all in one, so that makes it more grindy and you have to re-level, blah, blah, blah. So that I really like about Final Fantasy. The in-depth crafting of it and the way you get gear is just doing these trials. And you get pieces of gear at the end that you can trade in for the type of gear that you want. It's just a very more casual thing for gearing, unless you want to go into extreme raids and dungeons where then you can put in the hours like with WoW, where right now WoW there's about 80 systems you have to do in order to even get into the raid, which is fucking annoying. So I would make gearing and all that more streamlined, everything account-wide onto one character. And then I would separate, what Guild Wars does is separate PvP from PvE is the big thing. And Guild Wars has giant PvP ongoing wars that just the other two games just don't. And I think that's a shame because that's probably my favorite part about Guild Wars is just this giant open epic, you know, PvP thing that's going on. So you would want to incorporate that and separate the gear. PvE gear is for PvE. PvP gear is for PvP. No stupid systems like WoW's implemented. Make it streamlined like Final Fantasy and separate the stuff like Guild Wars does. Those are my biggest things. I mean, we could talk. I mean, sure, Dan and I could talk hours on how to make the perfect MMO.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually disagree about the gear grind. So I like the way Guild Wars does it where in, what is it now, almost 10 years or so, there's hasn't been a level cap increase to the gear. You know, once you're at that level gear, you stay at that gear and you grind for cosmetics. And I actually think that's why it's so casual friendly. And you can drop it, like Eric said, you can drop it for 3 years and come back because your gear is still best in class gear. Now, the things that I wish were there, because Guild Wars is my number one, but it's not perfect, is the instance content is very lacking compared to World of Warcraft, compared to Final Fantasy, even Lost Ark. You know, I wish like you'd take some of the instance content, whether it's 5-man, 10-man, or even like a 3-man, and it's not just a DPS check. I want to actually have mechanics that you have to do, that everyone has to do, and, you know, that way you're actually learning a fight, and it's not just, oh, I can DPS and break the mechanic because I beat some kind of enrage timer. And that's what I think you need to pull from the other games into a system like Guild Wars. But, you know, there's never going to be a perfect MMO. If there was, one would have been made. And who knows? Maybe, like, everyone's betting on Ashes of Creation, which is in, like, pre-alpha, or Pillars of Eternity, which is in, like, I don't even know what you call before pre-alpha, but those are supposedly going to fix a lot of stuff, but who knows if they'll ever see the light of day.
Yeah, well, good points. I mean, who knows, maybe one day you two boys will team up and, you know, you just need probably about $300 million to just start selling some lemonade.
Well, and that's the problem. Like, WoW got bought out by Activision, and a lot of the stupid bullshit stuff that they put in is a clear indication because of Activision, because they want you to pay that $15 a month to stay subscribed, so they add in arbitrary bullshit systems, and they're building a game off of a data chart and not why people actually play the games. And now it's biting them in the ass because I believe WoW is hurting very bad. And then you get all these people switching over to Final Fantasy and then being like, oh, this is like how they used to be, where you just get a set of gear and then that's it. And I think, you know, Guild Wars, to that extent, you get your set of gear and then you do other stuff. In Final Fantasy, every raid tier that comes out, you got to get new gear. But, you know, I think some of these companies just get greedy. Or the Guild Wars one is just a very small company. I think Dan said they're not a very large company. So the resources in order to develop crazy stuff like Blizzard can. But and the drawback is, okay, you're a Blizzard size. You can develop all this crazy shit. But now you got to hit all these dumb quotas.
Yeah.
And then in Guild Wars, you don't have any of that, but you also don't have the developing power because you don't have as large as a company, which You know, I keep promoting Final Fantasy, where I believe that Square Enix and having one of the board members being the lead game designer has created right now probably the best balance in MMOs. It sure has its faults, but
yep.
the goods outweigh it at the moment. And that's just due to a board member who owns most of Square Enix, is the lead game developer, plays his game, listens to his community, plays with... You could hop on Twitch and play with him. It's nuts on yep. how engaged he is with the community, and no other MMO has that. Blizzard has fucking Ian Hyzakis, who's probably the worst lead game developer in the industry, and he's a lawyer. He was a lawyer, and he talks in riddles. He's a fucking little prick, and the game suffers from it. I'm not sure the Guild Wars community on that. I think they have a pretty decent one.
No, I think you're exactly right, though, is having people at the top that play your game makes a difference. And I believe Lost Ark actually falls into that category as well. I don't think it's the top people like Final Fantasy, but I do believe there are some game directors that constantly play, you know, and they hear the issues and they understand the issues that are going on in the game, and they have firsthand experience of what needs to be fixed.
Yeah, and that's the thing with these games, they're ongoing. They're not like Elden Ring. When you beat Elden Ring, it is now over, unless they come out with a expansion. In MMOs, it's never over. It's just always going. So they're constantly tweaking, constantly changing. And if the people making the game aren't playing it, or they're just turned so corporate that it's just a spreadsheet that's dictating it, it's going to fail really fucking bad.
Eric, cut you off.
No, you're good.
I was going to say, Eric didn't answer the question. I know you don't play as many MMOs or have as much time, but you've played Guild Wars.
You know, I'm kind of a sucker for the loot, right? Like, I play those games because I want quick rewards. I want not necessarily little effort, big reward, but I'm a big fan of getting consistent. When you beat a level or a mission or a raid or whatever it is, I enjoy getting better and better and better loot, or getting lucky and getting some loot. So for me, it's more like that, you know, how can I take a gamble here? And maybe, you know, I feel like some of those games might not take a bigger gamble, right? Like, I feel like, I don't know if there's any MMOs out there where if you go into this fucking dungeon or raid or whatever it is, you are betting all your top gear that you're going to win, and you'll get like the most ridiculous good shit ever, or like you lose it all, right? Like you just get stripped butt naked and get sent back out into the woods to go. It's like, I think like,
for you should go play Hades.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I wouldn't want it too big, almost like the stuff that you guys would probably like. I would probably want to just give it to me in a nice platter, right? Like, give me a game that I can beat in, let's say, 20 hours. That doesn't mean like, hey, 20 hours in, then you finally get to the next thing. Like, Lost Ark is kind of that way, where it's maybe going to turn me off a little bit. Now that I kind of beat the main missions, you know, I get it, it's not a full MMO like Guild Wars, but now there's like this whole other subsection I got to do. It's like, let me beat the game and be content with that, but then give me other things to go and do, right? Like right now, if I go back to Guild Wars, there's only so many events in a day, right? Like I'm not the person that's just going to go and replay event after event after event and be satisfied. I want like new shit consistently. I want an MMO that like every 3 months or 4 months, and I know some people hate this shit, is almost like that DLC pass, right? Like I'm paying $60.
In Warcraft and in Final Fantasy, they're on a pretty much 3 to 4 month. You get
like a new season or something.
No, you get a new zone, you get a new patch, you get new gear, new raid, new quests. No,
like that would be cool. Like that would be cool. Like because I'm not going to shit on.
Happened.
Yeah, no, that's good.
In place.
And that's good. I think like a game, I'm not going to shit on Guild Wars 2 at all, but like, I mean, when was the last expansion, Dan? 2017, 18?
Yeah, 2017 for the full expansion.
Yeah. And so between that expansion and now, like that's a long time to wait. Whereas other games might have, you know, instead of maybe coming out with a big release every 5 years, like give us a little bit of meat in between, like give us something to chew on a little bit. So not saying it's good or bad, but that's maybe where now I'm getting back into Guild Wars because there's something new and exciting. But, you know, a couple months from now when it's the honeymoon period is over, it's like, okay, I guess I'm going to go find another game or go else and do something else, you know.
Hey, to each their own. Play what you want to play. Yeah. Play it for how long you want to play it, and don't worry about
why,
it.
Why do I have a feeling, I'm kind of taking us on another side quest here, why do I have a feeling like, is MMO, is this the way some IPs are going to go? Because I feel like, you know, besides World of Warcraft that, I mean, I'm not going to say it started at all, but it really brought this
EverQuest
in the 90s. These games, like, there was only a select few and it was very select types of folks that would play these games, not in a weird way, it's just more so like it wasn't everybody's cup of tea. And now I feel like it's starting to get to a point where there's going to be a lot of MMOs. And are these companies, let's just throw like Disney and Halo out there, like is there going to be a Halo MMO at some point because people get sick of the whole first person shooter bullshit? Is there going to be like a whole Disney World MMO or
I actually disagree completely. I think MMOs
agree with you as well.
MMOs are a dying breed.
You think?
Absolutely.
They're money consuming. They're a huge gamble. They're hard to maintain. Look at Lost Ark. I mean, not Lost Ark.
New World.
Yeah, I think the last newest one was Final Fantasy, and that took as years. Long as it did to be number one. And it still is always competing with WoW and ESO and you know, things like that. It's just they're too difficult. They're too much of a big bet.
I think what you'll see, so there's a slight difference, right? There's the true MMO, but if you look at like Guild Wars 1, I don't know if you guys played it, but it's kind of a hybrid RPG MMO. And so it falls in between. I think that could be more popular, where you're in a town and you can form random parties with people to go on quests, maybe kind of almost like a Destiny. I don't know, I haven't played Destiny much, but you can kind of do that. And I think that's where like Halo or something could go. It's not a true MMO with all the systems built in, but it's got kind of like a hub.
With co-op, I think is right. What you're trying to say.
Right.
Because where you can play with other friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay. you go to a hub. Eric, what was that game we tried the beta of where we landed on a random planet and it was a shooter for a while, but that was the same thing. Like there was a hub and you could queue up for the random dungeons. You'd play it with someone for 10, 15 minutes. Then you just went back to the hub single player.
Yeah. Was that Destiny 2 maybe?
No. It was different game. I forget what it's called. Like Outriders or something?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Outriders. Yep, you're right. Yeah, we played that for a little bit. Yeah, okay. I can see that. I don't know. Mark my words. 10 years from now, I feel like for some bullshit reason, these executives are going to have some, well, remember how big Elden Ring was? We got to tap into that. People are MMOs now. It's like, and you guys think it's a dying breed, so I'd be curious to see what the suits have to say about it. You know, they're going to fuck it up one way or another. God.
Yeah, I think more people are into the instant gratification. MMO is a long game. It's a long time.
There's people that like it, like Dan and I, and then there's people that just don't like it, like you, Eric, which is fine. But there's less of Dan and I and more of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least in between Dan and I and you, where, like, I'd say my older brother Brandon or Mac, Eric, you're like the short spurt, 20 minutes, maybe, like, you're probably the most casual gamer there is. So you call themselves a gamer. And then there's just hardcore, stupid shit like Dan and I do, where it's just, why do you guys spend so much time on this?
Yeah.
And then there's someone like, you know, my older brother or my younger brother, where they fit right in the middle, where they don't want as short as you do, but they don't want as long as grindy as Dan or I do. So then you kind of get that, you know, that's why Destiny's so popular. It's a very good middle ground type game.
Yeah. Well, we shall see where the world takes us in that aspect. I mean, I'll be surprised to see. I mean, I'm hoping Elden Ring does well. And if it's, you know, after watching some Twitch and seeing what it looks like, and, you know, if it is like a 20 to 30 hour game, I might even just pick it up just to play it and have some fun and then be done with it, you know, put it back in the trash, you know, uninstall that shit. So let's move on, boys. That was a fun little quest we had, but I'm going to go back and do a little retro movie.
Bond. James Bond. I'll be back.
Hello?
You shall not pass!
Use the Force, Luke.
Oh, there it is. There's that dinosaur. Gentlemen, I want to talk to you about a little movie called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. This movie came out before I was born. Jeff, you were definitely out there somewhere. June 11th, 1986. This is a nice little summer movie written, directed, and produced by the one and only John Hughes, who can't be beat. I don't know if any movies will top John Hughes movies in terms of like teenage growing up. And if you haven't ever seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, just please unfollow this podcast. No, don't do that. We need all the listeners we can get. But I would be very shocked if this isn't a movie that's like staple in your life of having seen it, whether it was, I don't know, in like high school or just on TV or with family members or just that your parents said, hey, this is on a list of like shit you just have to watch. So it's that coming of age teen comedy film. Ferris Bueller, played by none other than Matthew Broderick. We also have Alan Ruck and Mia Sara, our fun little trio going around town, taking a day off of school. And of course, one of the villains of the movie, but the principal, Mr. Principal Rooney, being an asshole and trying to catch Ferris in the act. So, Dan, this movie is, I believe you said, one of your favorites of all time. So, why don't you break it down for us? When's the first time you've seen it? What makes this movie so good?
I don't know the first time I saw it. The reason why, well, I love it for many reasons, but actually my favorite quote, like, you know, sometimes you get hired at a new job, they ask you like random stuff.
Yeah.
My favorite quote is from the movie, and I actually have it on a plaque in my office. It's, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. And I think that just sums up so much. You know, everybody's so busy in life that you need to take time out and just stand still and observe what's going on. And I think that's portrayed so well in the movie that, you know, they just go to a baseball game. You just go to the art museum. You know, you just sit at the pool and just hang out with your friends for a while and just relax. And despite all the whole skipping school and everything, it's just about being with your friends on a day off, not caring about anything, and just enjoying yourself.
Yeah, that's a good quote, too. And especially like the end of the movie, it's one of those movies where it's cool because, you know, he breaks the fourth wall. And it's just like, you just want to kind of be him for the day, right? Like, carefree, let's just go fuck around. Like, and it's almost kind of silly to think about that. It's like, ugh, I could never do that. But it's like, all right, what's stopping you, right? Like, obviously, skipping school is not cool, right, Jeff? We know that. But, like, what's keeping or stopping anybody from, let's just, even if it was, like, on a weekend or when you can, you know, take a day off and do something, like, why not go do those things? Why is it cool for him to do it, but then you sit around and you're like, eh, maybe tomorrow, as you, like, eat your chips and, you know, I log in and play 20 minutes of a game and then go watch 20 minutes of a movie and blah, blah, blah. But, like, you know, I also agree with all the points that you made. Like, it's just cool to think about and kind of a good, metaphor for, like, just life. Just take it as it is and just, stop and smell the roses. Jeff, you've seen this movie, I know for sure. What were your first thoughts and maybe takeaways from this bad boy?
Well, I loved Ferris Bueller when we grew up. I mean, my mom, like, virtually made us watch it. So it was just something we were always brought up with. It's a great movie. It's Matthew Broderick at his best. It's, you know, the whole Ferrari scene where, you know, they reverse the tires and just the scene where they park it and the garage attendants are just flying around Chicago in it. And it's shot in Chicago. We all grew up here, so it's always fun to see when you're a kid a movie being shot in your hometown and all that. And it's just a very 80s movie. It's just one of the perfect 80s comedy movies. It just doesn't get better than it. The whole thing is just, it's golden.
Yeah.
It's a movie you have to watch, you have to love. If you don't, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah,
or
you have a problem. Go get meds. But like this movie on paper, like when you really stop to think about this movie, like from start to finish, I'm a little bit shocked that they were able to get this movie greenlit and made. Not, you know, if John Hughes was not involved in any way, shape, or form, this movie would not get made. But like from start to finish, okay, it's a kid skipping school. He just goes around town. He goes downtown. There's this whole fucking musical number at a parade, right? The kid crashes a Ferrari. Then he's being chased by the principal. He makes it home in bed before everybody walks in, and, you know, he's ultimately the hero and whatever. Like, this movie on paper is just very outrageous, right? Like, maybe it's just me, but I feel like this movie is lucky to be made, and I'm so glad that it was.
You're absolutely right. The premise of it is very dumb, you know, and I really enjoy the movie, but it's very dumb. But I think you summed it up so well. It's about, why can't that be me, right? Yeah. You know, that's exactly it. And you stare at it and you're like, why can't that be me? And it should give you motivation to just be like, yeah, I'm going to this today. You know, I'm going to go do something I want to do today.
Yeah. I'm going to go fly a kite for 8 hours, Jeff. That's what we want to do, right?
Okay.
But I hope this is a movie that they don't touch in the future. I have just this feeling in this day and age, like after it hits that mark of like, what is it? The copyright expires and whatever. Why do I feel like Disney Plus is going to try to remake this shit and completely botch it and then, you know, just spoil it?
And Disney, yeah, they do not need to touch this movie. Like, what did they do that with?
Home Aloner.
Yeah, another.
Home a Boner. You know?
No thanks.
No thank you. Please,
Disney,
we're done.
I love you, but you gotta stop doing this stuff.
Yeah, that's the, I mean, I gotta admit, that's the part of Disney that I think we all agree we don't like. Dan, I know you're a huge Disney fan, but that's the part of Disney that's just like, I could go without, is like the remakes, the stuff that they think is gonna happen and be big. So please stay away from it, Disney. We get it. You have money, you have lawyers, but don't touch this gem, because it is in the Library of Congress. It is in the National Film Registry, and I'm not surprised, because
it is.
Yeah, this is one of those that is considered culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. So it is in a vault that if this planet gets blown up, you know, when the beast awakens in the center of the core that's been, you know, snoozing for about 10 million years, when this planet blows up, that thing's flying off, you know, light years away, that someone's going to pick up and be able to watch. I think
the new civilization is only going to have two songs, and they're going to have parades every day to this movie. That's what they'll get out of it.
Somehow that's going to be the new world, is just a big statue of Ferris and the Ferrari, and just every day is Ferris Bueller Day.
And his leopard print vest.
Okay. God, must have been so cool for him to film that, though. Like, you just literally get the keys to the Kingdom of Chicago, like, you know, you and John Hughes, one of the hottest directors at the time, like, just taking over the city. Man, was he cool. Would have been cool to be him, huh?
With Blues Brothers, they just let them do whatever the hell they wanted.
Yeah.
Literally, the city of Chicago was like, just do that. They're like, can we drive a building off, or drive a car off a building?
Yes.
And they're like, yeah, that's fine.
Go for it. Have fun.
Just whatever they wanted.
And it's cool that, like, I mean, obviously, for those that are maybe new listeners, we're actually from the Chicagoland area. So that's what also, I think, makes this movie a little bit more special in my heart, is that, you know, hey, this is our hometown. We grew up in Chicago. We can go see those landmarks. We know where those houses are located. Obviously, some of them are here, but obviously some were shot, you know, over in California. But, like, hey, man, this is like a Chicago movie, and how can you not love a Chicago movie when you're from the city? We only get so many, because if you think about it, like, fucking New York and L.A. Are like every second and third movie out there. It's just like, it's one of those two cities, so it's always nice to see Chicago get on the map. Shout out to that city, huh? Who burned it down, that fucking cow? How dare he? Luckily, we rebuilt. So, anyways, boys, I want to take us into our next main
history lesson.
Yeah, little history lesson. What was it? The fucking Betty? Was it Betty
O'Leary?
Oh, fucking O'Leary's house. God damn it, O'Leary's. Can you just, you know, keep your cow in the barn with away from the fire? Why is there fire near a cow?
I think it was a lantern, right? God, kicked over the lantern.
Fuck that. That cow can, he's fine in the dark. He doesn't get spooked. So anyways, let's move
on. I guess
to...
those stakes were well done, huh?
Oh, God, Dad. Get out of here, Dad. All right, our second main quest, boys, of the evening is... A couple weeks ago, we missed the whole Nintendo Direct. They released a whole bunch of updates and new shit coming out for the Switch. I know us three, I think out of all of our friends and people we know, I think us three play the Switch the most, or we at least enjoy it the most. And they announced a few things that are coming out. So let's just rattle a few off and see some of our thoughts and see if it's actually going to be worth our time and money. But first up is the Mario Kart Booster Course Pass. And they really hit the nail on the head with that last word, which for me is fucking pass. Like, this is Mario Kart 8. It came out 10 years ago. Why are they now trying to find this, like, DLC loophole where people are going to spend another, like, $60 to get new carts and new levels? Like, in the last 10 years, they really couldn't do that. So I don't know how you guys feel about that. I'm assuming you guys are a pass on that shit. But, like, that just kind of made my blood boil a little bit because, damn. Give us Mario Kart 9, fuckers.
Little half and half. One, I like that they're adding stuff. I would have loved a new Mario Kart. But if you rewatch it, they say the courses will be released every few months until September 2023. So there's no new Mario Kart on the horizon for 2 years.
Ugh.
Real good point. Dan, real quick, because I know you're in the... They're doing that with a lot of these games now. They're doing it with Halo Infinite. I don't play that, but they don't plan on making a new Halo. They're just going to keep expanding on this one. So it seems like this is a direction that some of them are going with right now, like what Dan's talking about in Mario Kart.
Yeah, but I'll agree to that. But they could have added new characters. They could have added new carts, you know, new multiplayer modes or something like. Don't just give us courses that are recycled from the old games. I think that's the biggest problem.
Yeah. And also, like, fuckers, give us Mario Kart 9. That's all we want. I just take all this back and make a new game. And I feel like they could pump out a Mario Kart 9 if they really wanted to in, 16 months.
But I guess the question is, what would you want in a Mario Kart 9 that's not in a Mario Kart 8?
Well, I mean, they obviously take it from point A to point B, I feel, in most of their games, right? Like, there's new levels, there's new ways of maybe content or, you know, right now there's different game modes like the battle and stuff like that. Like, I feel like they could expand on it. There could be, like, a whole story mode as opposed to, like, the cups that you play for. I feel like there's a lot of different things they could pull from other Nintendo games or even other games out there in the world that, like... could make the game fresh and new. Like, let's be honest, like, fucking Smash Brothers Ultimate has how many characters now? Like 30 something characters and probably as many or more levels, and that game has only been out for a couple of years. Like, this Mario Kart game has been out since what, 2012 2013? Like, the next Mario Kart game should have a huge roster of characters. It should have, you know, endless amounts of levels. I don't know why the game is, like, so jam-packed into, like, what is it, 10 cups and, like, what, 20-something levels? Like, fuckers, give us more. I don't know. I'm just going on a rant over Nintendo now. But
no,
I think they have opportunities, you know? They can do it. I mean, it's Nintendo we're talking about. They know how to make a good game. But, Jeff, I don't know. What are your thoughts? You're not even into Mario Kart anymore, are you?
I mean, I play Mario Kart, but it's one of those games where I like to play it with other people. And the biggest problem with the Switch is it's very difficult to co-op with people. It's extremely difficult to play the Switch over the internet with other people. I don't know why Nintendo chose this path, but my favorite thing with Nintendo is playing with other people. I mean, just racing around in Mario Kart alone isn't as fun as screaming and blowing up your friends and making fun of them. When people are over, we, you know, for holidays, for parties, for whatever, I always have the Switch going and it's fun to play then. But outside of that, it's just, you know, fuck.
Yeah. I'm with you there. So that was one of those updates. I'm going to be a pass on that one, most likely, unless somebody like gifts it to me for a year. That would be fine. But
I think the only redeeming thing, I have to reread it, but I thought it was like $25 for like 96 courses or something. So in that sense, you're getting a lot of bang for your buck. I know it's not a new game. I know it's 8-9 years old, but you are getting quite a bit of content. It's not like $25 a month, right? Or $25 for each patch. I think it's $25 for all 96 courses.
Yeah, but like, think about it this way too. Like, they had the ability to do this and just give it to us, right? Like Mario Golf, remember? They were like, hey, here's a couple more characters and a couple courses just because you bought the game. Oh, cool. That keeps me coming back.
I completely agree with you. I would have much rather had a new one. I'm just saying, I don't think it's as terrible as some people might say. I'm just disappointed that it said till September 2023.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But that was one of those. This one I was actually excited about. So no more shitting in Mario Kart. Like, yes, it is a fun game. But this one I was not anticipating. And it made me miss the days when us three would either play it or Jeff, I would come to your place, or Dan. Because you guys both had Wiis and you both had Mario Strikers. That game is coming out, a fresh new game, Mario Strikers Battle League. And it just made me... It reminded me of how much fun I had with that game for a short period of time. Like, it was just during, like, college winter break. I think I saw both of you guys. I didn't have a Wii. And it was super fucking fun to play and really kind of challenging at times. And, dude, that was a fun game. And now they're coming out with a new one. So I'm actually pumped for that one.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure it's Nintendo, so it'll be great.
Yeah. But
I'm very excited. I, too, loved the first one. Tons of fun. Really good soccer game. I just hope they didn't somehow screw it up, you know, in their next adaptation. But I am definitely looking forward to it. That one will be really good.
Yeah, it seems a lot more complex. A lot more, like, obstacles and characters and special kicks and shit like that. But I just love how small the course is. Like, you don't have to... You know, it's not a huge soccer field that you're dealing with. Like, it's kind of short bursts, short rounds. Like, I like that stuff, kind of like Rocket League, obviously. But it'll be interesting to see, and hopefully they bring fresh new spin to it.
But, yeah, back to what Jeff was saying is their online play is not good. Like, it's the worst out of all the
systems. Oh, yeah.
And so that's what I fear for. Like, back with the Wii, you know, obviously there was Wii Online and stuff, but I feel a lot more people played in person. And now it's much more spread out. So will the game work well online? And the other fact is they don't have a built-in headset feature in this day and age. And so, you know, if you want to chat with your teammate, how are you going to do that?
Well, yeah, you do it with compliments only. That's the way.
Nintendo is so stubborn sometimes. It just...
Well, yeah. And you got to think about it this way. Like, it's 2020...
Oh, here real quick. On the Switch, one of my great favorite things about it is, you can bring it on a trip or whatever, and as long as you got an HDMI cable, you can plug it in and stuff. And then, you can't get Netflix on it. Okay.
Yeah, it can do everything else, but doesn't have third-party apps that you can use. No, doesn't make sense. Well, like, not only that, but, like, it's 2022. Like, I get it. Nintendo's the family-friendly, good image, good PR. They never do any wrong. But, like, you gotta imagine how many fucking kids grew up with Nintendo. Obviously, we're all in our 30s and 40s now. Like, there needs to be some option for online play. Like, hey, I'm a fucking adult. Let me play some real Nintendo online. Like, let me shout at people. Let me talk with my teammates. Let me communicate in Mario Kart. Like... That's half the fun is shit talking to Mario Kart. And you can't do that when all you're doing is like providing compliments to everybody, even though you're like rage quitting on the backside. Like, that's what makes it more exciting. And I think more people would play these online games if they had that option. I think you guys are both right. I want to fucking scream at some people that maybe aren't kids. Or maybe they say they're kids and then they get a whole earful from Jeff when he's drunk on White Claws. You never know. But, okay. Couple more games that are coming out. Nintendo Switch Sports, which I watched the quick trailer for it, and I was sad that it doesn't have golf.
Disappointing.
Very disappointing. They have a few other games, like, what was it, like, fucking...
Golf comes out in the fall. So they already have a DLC, but again, How does Nintendo announce this and not add golf? I mean, anyone who played the first one played bowling, golf, and baseball.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Now it's fucking soccer, volleyball, bowling, tennis, badminton. I don't know who asked for badminton, but nobody did.
I thought you did.
And what the fuck? Chambara? Is that how you say it? Sword play?
No, the soccer is like Avatar Rocket League.
Yeah. They're just... it just isn't as exciting as the Wii Sports. Like, that was really fucking fun, and you could play that for hours. But, I mean, we'll see what they do with this one. And again, DLC, like... I mean, you know, they're just raking in the cash. They're just going to sell it, and then the next one's going to be like $20 for the DLC, and, you know, get golf with it. That'll be the way to lure next people in. But it's like...
I'm just learning on it.
But like, I just don't understand how these games are so fucking small. Like, in the grand scheme of games and where we're at with technology, I get it. They're on the small ass chips. But like, why can't Nintendo Switch Sports be like 50 fucking sports? Why is it only like 4?
I mean, that's the way Nintendo does it. You look at their new Mario Party. Whenever they release a Mario Party, it's 5 maps.
God.
I mean, that's awful, right? There should be 12, or start with 5 and give a map once every month or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people are going to stop playing it because you play the 5 maps in the first 5 hours you own the game.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. So everybody out there, be sure to check out the Nintendo Direct updates. I didn't really see any more big bangers out there that were worth exploring. I mean, there's some updates or some DLCs coming out, but nothing that was really on our radar. And one final little segment of the day, I want to talk about a little retro game.
Let's go.
Alright, to finish us off for the evening, we're talking about some Super Mario Kart, kind of going with our theme of Nintendo. Did you get what we did there, everybody? Super Mario Kart came out way back in the day, 1992. That was 30 years ago this August for the Super Nintendo. And, oh boy, did this game kind of change the landscape for gaming and what we could do with gaming, especially back with the graphics and what we could do with Super Mario or even the Super Nintendo in general. But, damn, this was one of those games that I think all of us played as kids. Whether or not we had the system, we found a way to go out and play some Super Mario Kart. Jeff, I know that family over there, that household, had at least 2 Super Nintendos, and you guys were playing constantly.
Yeah, I mean, the Super Nintendo one was awesome because we played that in the van. Again, Eric.
Yep.
You, I, Dan, we were definitely grew up on the 64 era. Super Nintendo was still, you know, at least my gaming system that I remember the most, or that really got me into gaming, was 64, but... Yeah, the Super Nintendo one is like the classic, like it's fucking awesome. It's still good, and it's still fun to play it now and just go back with the. It kind of had the 3D thing going on and stuff, and some of those levels were just ridiculously hard of trying not to fall off. I think like the Haunted Mansion one on 64 was, I mean on Super Nintendo was super difficult because if you didn't turn right, you just fall off and die. And, fucking hell.
Yeah. No, it was a fun one.
It was the first game to bring in that battle racing thing. That's what it did. Because then you got, you know, there's tons of games that came out during the 64 era, like Crash Bandicoot 1 and Star Wars 1, all these like battle racers. But the Super Mario Kart was like the first of its kind.
And... This is a fun little tidbit, but like, if you look back at, if you go to like the Wikipedia for Nintendo and Super Mario Kart, like each of these games, there was, let's see, 5 courses for Super Mario Kart. For like the Mushroom Cup, there's 5 courses. And Super Mario Kart was the only game that had more courses. It had 5 per cup. Like, what the fuck, Nintendo? Like, your oldest game on your oldest system, or one of the oldest systems, I should say, like, they had 5 courses. They had 5 or 6 more courses than the rest of those games. So, like, it's possible to do. You did it back on the Super Nintendo, but why you decide not to do it on any other system, I don't know how. I don't know how they did that. Like, that shows that it's possible to do. But for me personally, we didn't have a Super Nintendo growing up, but I would just come over to your place, Jeff, or I would play it at friends' houses. But this was a fun multiplayer game. It was hard as fuck on the four-player screen. I don't know how we all actually played four players on one screen on a fucking tube TV with the graphics of the way that they were. Somehow we made it work, but damn, it's hard to think about that now because that shit was tricky. Dan, did you, I know you guys didn't have a Super Nintendo. You guys were kind of the in-between, kind of like me, but what are your memories on playing some Super Mario Kart back in the day?
What's funny is I did not have a Super Nintendo. I did not play it back in the day. However, you know Greg, my friend,
yep.
He still has his Super Nintendo, and he has the cartridge for Super Mario Kart, so whenever I go to visit him, we actually play it.
Well, there
so
you
we
go.
we still play it to this day. I mean, not very often. You play one or two rounds, and you're like, oh, let's go to something newer. But we still enjoy it, and, you know, it's a lot of fun to just hang out and look at old graphics every once in a while and be like, wow, this is where it started. Okay, let's get the Switch out and play something else instead.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, but systems like that and games like that, you could literally just hold the system in your hands above a hardwood floor and the cartridge and just drop the whole fucking thing and it would still work. Like, those systems were built to get fucked up and they still work. Like, even after all these years, I have a Super Nintendo somewhere in the drawer down here that I never used anymore, but, like, you know, as soon as I plug it in and blow on the cartridge and get it in there, like, it's just going to pop up. It's going to start spinning and do the racing sound. And they're just, I don't think I've ever had to replace those old games ever for Nintendo. So props to you guys. Props to, props to John Kwong out there. Thank you. Thank you for your service. So anyways, boys, we are at the very, very end of our episode. So, Dan, thanks so much for joining us. Everybody hit us up at SideQuestBod on all your thoughts. MMO, Nintendo, Ferris Bueller, Mario Kart, all the fun stuff. Let us know what you think. But for now, we've got to get going. So, Jeff, how shall we have Dan end this episode?
Well, we're going to have to reenact something.
Don't.
I'm thinking, all right, I got it. Dan, you get hit with a blue shell, and you get to choose your character. Just give us what the noise is when you just get demolished by a blue shell.
Whoa. You got to be Toad. That's what Toad does.
There you go. Perfect.
It's a blue shell at you. Boom.
Weep, boom. I'm Yoshi. Weep, boom. I don't know what the fuck noise he makes. It's like a swallowing. Weep, boom. Goddamn. Jeff, now your turn. Blue shell coming at you. Oh my god. That was like a demon. Well, that was the worst round of Mario Kart we've ever played. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll see you next time.